Matthew chapter 23. And we're going to start reading from verse 13. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over the land and sea to win a single convert, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are. Woe to you, blind guides! You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the goal in the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say, if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift on it, he is bound by his oath. You blind men, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And he who swears by the temple swears by it and by the one who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and by the one who sits on it. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law: justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides! You strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel. Lord, we thank you for your word too, as we pray that this evening you would help us to know and understand more of you as we come together and look at your word together. Speak to us, Lord, we pray. Amen. So, flies and camels. But before we come on to that, I want to give you a little bit of encouragement. We've heard that some of the young people from here are going to be going out this week and witnessing to people. And the Pharisees, we've just read about the Pharisees, and it seems a bit doom and gloom on Pharisees in this reading. And I don't know about you, but when I think of Pharisees, I kind of think of these really harsh people who've got lots of rules and regulations and very specific things that you must do. And I think Jesus was trying to kind of say, look, you know, it's not all like that. But then I wondered about that. And I want to give you a bit of a story. I want to give you an example of something. Week before last, we went on holiday to Prague, and very nice it was too. But I wondered, how would it be if we kind of changed the way that we did holidays? You see, the Bible is wonderful because, as far as I can see, the gospel is very clear, and we can see exactly where that's going. But nobody seems very satisfied with the way the Bible is. So what I wondered was, just as an example, just as a kind of idea, let's just think about what we could do. So I want you to imagine that rather than going to an estate agent and making a reservation, what you do is you kind of rock up to the airport. And when you get there, you'll see, well, in Manchester Airport, there are three terminals. And you think, oh. Well, rather than actually decide which terminal I'm going to go to, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go eeny, meeny, miny, mo, and we'll see which terminal shows up. And then after that, you kind of go in and then you start looking around and seeing what's going on. And that might work for you, and that's fantastic. But for those of us who've perhaps got a specific place to go to, so I was going to Prague. Imagine if I walked into Manchester Airport and I see this three terminals, and I'm not quite sure which one to go to. But I think, okay, I'm a intelligent kind of guy, and yeah, okay, which one of these are we going to go for? Well, number one, it's always a good place to start, isn't it? So let's start with the first terminal. So I make my way in there, and I look round, and I think, oh, right, okay. So we go and we check in our bags, and the lady says behind the desk, oh, put your bags on the scales there, and we do that. And, oh, where are you going, sir? Oh, we're going to Prague. Oh, very nice. Good luck with that one. And so we carry on through. And so we're in Terminal 1, and it's all very fine, and we've booked our bags in, and there's all these other people milling around. And then we look up at the screen, you know, that big screen, and you kind of stand there, and all these guys are stood there looking at this screen. And then every now and again, it'll change. And if you don't quite find the right information before it changes again, it means you've got to stand there waiting. But anyway, it was quite easy on this day because actually all the information just said was gates 1 to 50. And the rest of the screen was blank. And I stood there with you. And there's all these other people, they're kind of sitting around and they all seemed to be knowing what they were doing and looking at the screens. Oh, yeah. So I said, what's happening? Oh, well, you just need to decide which gate you want to go to. I pondered that for a moment. And I thought, oh, how do I know which gate is the right one? Where do you want to go? The person said, well, I want to go to Prague. Oh, well, you see that gentleman over there? He's going to Prague too. Go and see which gate he's going to. So you go over and you talk to this other person. And you, I believe you want to go to Prague. Oh, that's right. Do you know which gate you're going from? Well, 7's always been my lucky number. So I've decided I'm going to go to gate 7. I'm not completely convinced by that idea. So I go and ask somebody else. Where are you going? I'm going to Mallorca. Okay. So you're going to Mallorca. How do you know which terminal or which gate you're going from? Well, it's my 40th birthday celebration, so I'm going with gate 40. And so it goes on, and gradually you kind of go around the people and you find out which different gates they're going to. Eventually, and being a man, you'll know what I mean by this. Eventually, us men, after we've exhausted every other possibility, we'll eventually go and ask somebody in authority. It's like in the old days, I know you don't have this problem because you've got Google Maps or whatever it was that Andrew was saying about before. So you just type it into that. But back in the old days, if you wanted to go somewhere and you're reading a map, the last thing you would do as a bloke is stop the car and go and ask somebody. The wife would be sat there and saying, why don't you just... No, no, I'm going to read the map. But anyway, eventually you decide, I'll go and ask somebody. So you see these nice people all sat in these cubicles. And so you go up to one of them. Hi. Good afternoon, sir. I wonder if you can help me. I'll try to, sir. Well, I would like to go to Prague. Oh, it's beautiful there, sir. Yes, I know. Could you tell me which gate it is that I need to leave from? And this nice lady, she sits there for a moment, and she thinks. And finally, she looks me up and down, and she says, She said, sir, we as a company feel that it would be rather narrow-minded of us to tell you exactly which gate to take and where to go. So, you see, there's all these wonderful planes and all these hard-working crews and very sincere passengers. Who are we to say Which one of them is better than another? So you need to make your own decision. Because actually they're all going somewhere. And you might think that sounds a bit ridiculous. You might think that sounds a bit crazy. But in our pluralistic society, in a society that says there are lots of ways to heaven, that is what people do. And maybe sometimes we need to actually stand up and be counted and say, do you know what? This is the way. This is the answer. This is what you need to do. Now, the problem was that the teachers of the religious law, the Pharisees, these people that Jesus called hypocrites, had kind of taken that idea of these rules and regulations to way, way over an extreme. So much so that you couldn't really do anything without permission, without checking out exactly what you could or couldn't do. It wasn't about getting into a relationship with God. It was about following rules and regulations. It was about saying the right things. It was about washing your hands in the right way. It was about washing the dishes in the right way. It was about eating the right foods and mixing with the right people. And actually, it was impossible. There was always something that would get in the way, that would trip you up. So they were guilty of perverting the truth of what the Bible said or what the Old Testament said. Because actually, the reason that those regulations were put in place were not to try and trip people up. The reason that the rules and regulations that Moses and that we read in Exodus were there were to point the way to God, not to try and stop people from getting to God. The idea was to keep that covenant relationship between God and his people, because they knew where they stood. It was clear what God expected of them. So the Pharisees, they had perverted not just their own set of rules, but actually when they had a convert, when they convinced somebody to follow the same rules and regulations as they had, they actually made that person in a much worse state than themselves, because they completely missed God out of this equation. They actually made these other people into hypocrites, and according to the text, worse hypocrites than themselves. So what about us? What about you? What about me? What do we say? My mum's here, and we were teased. Well, I wasn't teased. My mum was teased by somebody earlier on who said that I was bound to say something really unkind about my mother and all that sort of thing. And I wouldn't dare do such a thing. However, it used to be that you couldn't go shopping on Sunday. It used to be that you couldn't play football on Sunday. If you watch the film Chariots of Fire, you know, the guy made a decision that he wasn't going to run on a Sunday because it was a sacred day. And there were certain things that we weren't allowed to do because we were Christians. And I'm not saying that's a good or a bad thing. What I'm saying is that there was something there in all of that. But instead of using those guidelines, instead of using those rules to point people to God, these Pharisees used them to blind people and to give situations where people could not meet the criteria. So let me give you two examples of that that we've read in the text. So swearing by the temple or by the gold, and swearing by the altar or the gift. So in one case, the oath, the promise, the whatever you said, you couldn't get out of it. And yet in the other situation, you could. Well, how ridiculous is that? Because it's just an item. It's like saying, if this lectern never moves from this spot, I swear, and so on. Would it mean anything? Probably not. But that's what people did, and that's what the criticism that Jesus brings against the Pharisees was: you're making all these rules and regulations, you're saying all these different things, and actually they're ridiculous. They're as ridiculous as saying to people, oh, just go to Manchester Airport and figure it out for yourselves where you want to go. The other thing that they did, which again is in the text there, it talks about tithing. Okay, now before your church treasurer comes to see me afterwards, let me say, tithing is a fantastic thing and we should all be doing it. And if you're not doing it, I would encourage you as part of your Christian life that that is something that we should do. That actually it is part of a biblical teaching, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. So that's that bit. But having said that, these guys were so obsessed that they would count out the grains of cumin. They would look at the plants, the mint, and whatever else they were growing in their gardens, and they would figure out what one-tenth of that bush was, or what one-tenth of the number of seeds that they had. And they would bring those in and say, we're doing the right thing because we're tithing. That is not the idea of it. It is there as a guide. It is there as a means of us to be able to say, Lord, you've given us so much. We bring back that portion to you. And actually, they were missing the point of what they were supposed to be doing. They were supposed to be dealing with people and building people up. And again, from the text, with justice, mercy, and faith. And yet, they were crushing people with these ridiculous rules and regulations. You see, the thing is, even in our Christian churches, even in the 21st century, it's possible to carefully obey certain details of God's laws, but still be disobedient in our lives, in our general behavior. We can be very precise and very faithful in giving 10% of our money to the church, but refuse to give 1 minute of our time in helping somebody else outside of the church. Tithing is important, but giving a tithe does not exempt us from fulfilling God's other directives, like visiting the sick, or praying for people, or seeing someone in need and helping them. There was a funeral in our church with some Pentecostal people who came and used our church building this week, and I was challenged by one of the things that they said, and I'm going to bring that challenge to you. So this is not a trick question, and you are very welcome to put your hand up if you want to answer, okay? But I'm going to ask you, if any of you have more than two coats, to raise your hand now. Okay, so if you have more than two coats, raise your hand now. Okay? Now you guys, and myself included, we are not living according to Scripture. Because the Scripture says, if you've got more than two coats, get rid of one. But we're not so bothered about doing that, because that involves us actually going out and doing something. And yet, we're very keen on fulfilling some of the other rules and regulations, because they're easy, because they allow us to kind of feel better about living for God. So, we wouldn't be like Pharisees, would we? Maybe, maybe not. Okay, so let's think about the latter part of those verses that we read. The gnat or the fly and the camel. Okay, they have something in common. Do you know what that is? No. Okay, they're both unclean foods. Okay, and because the Pharisees were so obsessed about what was clean and what was unclean and these rules and regulations about what they could and couldn't do, if they wanted a drink of water, exhibit A, and very nice it is too, they wouldn't just drink it straight out of the tap or out of the ground or from the well. Because if they did, there might have been a fly in the water. And if they drank it and swallowed the fly, they would be unclean. And they wouldn't allow themselves to then go to the temple because they had eaten an unclean food. And Jesus is using a bit of a play on words, because in Aramaic, the word for gnat or the word for fly is very similar to the word for camel. And what he was saying to them basically was, it's ridiculous. What you're saying is you're going to filter your water to make sure that you don't eat an unclean food. And yet actually, by the way that you behave, by the way that you're acting, it's like you're swallowing a camel, which probably for most of us would be impossible. But that's how ridiculous this whole system had become that they were trying to follow, that they were trying to make sure that they followed the rules. They take great care. The Pharisees took great care of the small details in order to remain pure. And yet, in the more important areas, they failed. And I wonder if that might apply to us. Even today, that sometimes we make judgments on people. Oh, they're not really a Christian because they do that. I'm sure you could fill in the blanks. I'm not going to give you the examples. But we make those judgments, don't we? About other people. Well, they can't be a Christian because. Or I'm a Christian because I give a tenth. Or I'm a Christian because I go to church on Sunday. Or I read my Bible, or so on and so forth. Are we actually being blind to what God has called us to do? I do believe that we are called as Christians to give direction to the people out there, that particularly in the 21st century, that we should be giving of ourselves, that as we are called to follow God, that we give a clear direction to the people around us about who we are, that actually there are not more than one ways to heaven. Jesus said in John's Gospel, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I'm not going to apologize for using that terminology, because that's what I believe. And I think sometimes as Christians we fail because we're not willing to stand up and be counted and to make those statements and to say to people, actually, it is about God. It's not about the small things. It's not about those little bits of something that might discolor our lives. It is about the big issues of loving other people, of loving each other, and of doing the things that Jesus has called us to do. So how about it? Flies and camels. Or will we follow God and do the things that He has called us to do?